Amen. Well, I'm glad I know whom I have believed. Amen. And I know He is able. Amen. Amen. All right. I appreciate that. Good song. I'm still rejoicing in that song Miss Elizabeth wrote and sang. Amen. And we'll have to hear that again sometime. Amen. And dwell on that a little bit. If you've got your Bible, Malachi chapter number 2 is where we're taking our text. Malachi chapter number 2. And we'll read the last verse of chapter 2, the first verse of chapter 3. And then we'll jump down and read the last verse of chapter 3. That'll be our text for today. All right, Malachi chapter number 2, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Jump down to verse 18 of chapter 3. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you again for the privilege to be in the house of God. The privilege, dear God, to be able to gather in with a cleared parking lot and clear roads. Lord, you gave us blessings in spite of the weather that we've had in the past. Lord, you dried things up and cleared things up in a marvelous way. And I want to thank you, Lord, for it. Father, I pray that you'd bless those that would love to be here that are not able because of health or because of the weather. They're not able to be with us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them as though they were here. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we listen today to the Word of God. Lord, as we try to preach the Word of God, would you use it for your glory? Let good seed fall on some good soil that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd bless and help those listening by way of the radio and by way of the internet. Lord, that you'd use these messages and this service to your glory and honor. But Lord, I pray you might deal in our auditorium today, that you might draw those that need saving. Lord, that you might draw those that need to get some forgiveness and get some things straightened out in their life. Lord, that you'd work in that and you'd get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Looking again at verse number 18, primarily for our message today. "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now, I've mentioned again and again that Malachi's detractors, those that rejected his message, those that argued with his message, they kept saying that God doesn't bless those that serve him. And they were saying, and we're back in chapter 2, verse 17, "Where is the God of judgment? Why? Where's God at when I need Him?" Is what they were saying. "Where's His blessings on me when I'm serving God? And where's His judgment on those that are not serving God?" And so they were saying that God does not bless those that serve Him. And they were arguing that He was rather blessing those that serve the flesh. They were saying that there was no use in serving God, that there was no pay, if you want to say it that way, for serving God. So Malachi repeatedly argues that God is not unrighteous. Amen. Rather, that their conclusions have been drawn presumptuously. Amen. They don't have all the facts. They've not got all the figures in, and yet they're trying to add up the score. Amen. The score's not in yet. Amen. God's one that's got all the facts and He's got all the figures. Amen. And He's going to settle the score one of these days. And we'll find out who comes out on top in the end. Amen. But He was telling them that their conclusions were drawn presumptuously about God's blessings and about God Himself, and that they were in error. Now, in our scripture here, we notice in this verse, God is announcing that He will draw a line between the righteous and the unrighteous. God's announcing right here there's going to be a clear distinction made between the godly and the ungodly. Verse number 18, "Then ye shall return and discern between it. In other words, you can see the difference is what he's saying. You'll be able to recognize the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I believe that what he's saying is that you, right now, you can't seem to tell where God's blessing and where God's not blessing. You think God's blessing the ungodly. You don't think God is blessing the godly. But he said, the day will come, you will see that the godly are way blessed and the ungodly are very much punished. And there's a vast difference between the two. That's the point that he's making. There's going to be a vast difference. Now, here's my point for my message. I'm saying, I said verse 16 about the people of God and God dealing in justice with the saints, that in verse number 16 they will be remembered. In verse number 17, they will be rewarded. They've got the jewels. And then in verse number 18, we see that they will be recognized. There's coming a day when God said, you'll be able to see the difference in the godly and the ungodly. Amen. Now, permit me, if you will, for just a moment to make a few remarks concerning the interpretation of this verse. And let me draw some comparisons and some conclusions from this statement. Now, first of all, some read this statement when it says, then shall ye return. See that, the first statement of verse 18? Then shall ye return. Some read that as saying, then shall ye be converted. Because the word return unto the Lord, is the same idea of being converted unto the Lord. Turning around, that's repenting, that's being converted, turned around, all right? And so some read that to say that then shall you be converted, which is the result of repentance to God. By the way, let me just plug this real quickly. There is no conversion without repentance, amen? If there's no repentance, there's no conversion, amen? Amen. But if you repent towards God, I believe God will save you by His grace. Amen. And so that would be, if that's the statement, if that's how this were to read, then shall ye be converted and discern between the righteous and the wicked. If he's talking about them being saved, he would be dealing with the salvation of the nation of Israel. And by the way, that is a prophetic statement. That is a biblical statement. And Israel will be converted one day. In Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 17, the Bible says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Isaiah made the promise to Israel, Israel shall be saved. Jeremiah chapter number 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Listen to this. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Amen. And so he's talking here, or Jeremiah is prophesying when Jesus sits on the throne in Jerusalem. He's prophesying the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The appearance of the Lord on this earth, not in rapture, but to reign on this earth. And he's saying, in that day Israel, or Judah, he said, shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And so if we're going to translate Malachi 3:18, then shall we return as being converted, a conversion. By the way, when you get converted, you do recognize there's a vast difference between the lost and the saved. Amen. There's a vast difference. Jeremiah makes a promise, and Isaiah both make the promise that Israel will be converted. They will be saved. Jeremiah says again, chapter 30 and verse number 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. I read this verse a few weeks ago. He made this statement. But he, talking about Israel, shall be saved out of it. Amen. Dealing with the 7 years tribulation on this earth, Israel's not going to be saved from the tribulation, but they're going to be saved through it. They're going to be saved out of the tribulation. Amen. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 26. Paul makes this statement. And so shall all Israel... And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so Paul refers back to what the prophet said. Isaiah and Jeremiah both promised that Israel would be saved. And Paul said there is coming a time when Israel shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad that is true. And by the way, I could say it over and over again, but when you're dealing with prophecy, prophecy does not revolve around the United States of America. Amen. I've been thinking about that and hearing some things said about that and doing some thoughts on that. One man said this. He said, everywhere I go, they want to know, where is America in biblical prophecy? He said, that's everywhere I go in America, they want to know that. He said he went to Australia recently and preached in Australia and said nobody asked him, where is America in prophecy? He said nobody asked him, where is Australia in prophecy? Because we read the Bible as though it were written all to us, when the truth is the Bible, the majority of it is written to Israel and about Israel, and we just got grafted in by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And in these last days, the focus is getting back on that Middle East. The focus is getting back on Israel. Amen. And we see some of that. I'm amazed at how we just had the president of Israel here recently, of the prime minister, and how that he was here making his speech, and many people did not even bother to listen to his speech. Amen. I'm talking about many of our leaders that should have been there, but they chose rather to turn a deaf ear. And then when they did comment on it, derogatory comments, I'm telling you, our nation had best wake up. God's not finished with Israel yet. Amen. God's not finished with Israel. By the way, I've got a word for the Russians. You better leave Israel alone. God's not through with Israel. Amen. I've got word for the Arabs. You better leave Israel alone. God's not through with Israel. Amen. Amen. However, I don't believe that Malachi 3:18 is talking about the conversion of the nation of Israel primarily. I believe that is a prophetical idea, and most of the time these verses do have double meanings. They've got prophetical and practical meanings, as I've said about that. But these verses, there is much prophetical truth that is given or alluded to in the book of Malachi. But I believe it is true. It is true that Israel will one day trust the Messiah as their Lord. They will be saved. But I believe this text is speaking about the Jews that were living at that day. I believe he said that very plainly. Look at verse number 18. Well, let me back up. Let me back up to verse number 16, all right? Let's back up to 14. I just keep backing up. Boy, just keep backing up. Verse number 14. Ye have said, that's people alive right now, ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we, that's people alive, call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Look at verse 16, it changes from present tense to future. Then they, all right, there's a future. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that brought that thought upon his name. Of course, that's past. And that those that did think upon the Lord, those that did serve God. Look at verse 17. Now we get to the future. And they shall be mine. So you see God moving this, the focus around the men that are living today. God said you can look in the past and see God's hand. You can look in the future and see God's hand. That ought to help you see God's hand in the present days, what he's saying. Amen. But then he goes to verse number 18. Then shall ye return. He's not talking about in that day when he makes up his jewels, that then there's going to be some that's going to come up that's going to turn to God. No, he's saying you're going to be there to see it. Even though you're dead and gone, even though you've laid in the grave for thousands of years, you will be there to see that day that I'm talking about. Amen. And I believe he's showing them a clear presentation of the resurrection of the damned, the resurrection of the unbelievers, the resurrection of the dead that will stand and see the judgment and the justice of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. I believe he's specifying that these detractors will be present to see the distinction made between the godly and the ungodly. I underline the word ye. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You see, this reading seems to indicate to me that if Malachi's listeners would only repent of their sin now, they could see the difference. But since their hearts were hardened, they couldn't see the difference. God does make a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. Amen. And it does pay to serve God and to trust God. Amen. Let me say it this way. I think we can understand it. It is much clearer, and it is true that things look much differently inside the ark of God's safety than they do on the outside trying to look in. Amen. I'm telling you, when I was lost without God, I didn't understand how a person could be saved. I didn't understand how God could love people so much that He'd give His only begotten Son. I didn't understand how that God could change people like that He does. But now that I'm saved, I still don't comprehend it, but I know it to be so because I have experienced it. Amen. And it's much different from the inside than it is on the outside looking in, trying to figure out what's going on in there. Amen. And these jewels, here I'm going back to verse 17. He talks about the jewels, and he talks about his sons and the servants. The jewels may lay in the dirt, and the jewels may lay right along with the refuse for a length of time. The sons and the servants may be laboring in the same fields as the strangers and the foreigners. But the day will come when God will gather His jewels. Amen. When God will gather His sons and gather His servants. Amen. The jewels will be showcased and the sons will be exalted. I believe that's right. While the refuse and the dirt and the strangers will be done away with on that day. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 9. I'll show you some scripture for it. Romans chapter number 9. By the way, let me say this when I'm preaching along these lines. Sometimes there's a danger. I see this in people that get really, really caught up in prophecy teaching. There's a danger of always looking forward and thinking, boy, it's about to come. And so what I really need to do is I need to buy another book and read it. Or I need to buy another DVD and watch it. That's not what these prophecy lessons are supposed to do. These prophecy lessons are supposed to tell us we need to straighten up our act today. And we better be warning our neighbors and our loved ones today. Amen. Amen. But if we're not careful, we just look out there and just keep looking out there and never see where we're at today. God wants us to look where we're standing. Take heed where we're standing. Amen. Amen. In Romans chapter number 9, verse number 21, down through verse number 23. Romans chapter 9, verse number 21, down through verse number 23. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What? If God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. Paul is talking about two different types of vessels. And by the way, there are only two kinds of people in the world. They're saved or they're lost. There's no in between. Amen. There's only two kinds of people in the world. The ungodly by nature and the godly by supernatural work. Amen. That's right. There's only two natures in the world. And he's talking about these two types of pottery, these two types of vessels. And he said one's a vessel of dishonor, the other's a vessel of honor, one's a vessel of wrath, and the other's a vessel of mercy. And I believe that he's talking about these that God makes them out of the same lump of clay. By the way, I want you to notice that it's not that some are born godly while others are born ungodly, but the truth is we're the same lump of clay. We were all born in the same ungodly state, but by the grace of God, God fitted us and changed us, amen, and molded us into something different and something worthwhile, amen. Verse number 21 plainly says that He makes that out of the same lump, amen. It's all the same dirt, amen. But God makes something out of us. He calls some a vessel of wrath, verse number 22, and others a vessel of mercy in verse number 23. They have their counterpart. They correspond with verse number 21. The vessels unto honor and the vessels unto dishonor. I believe it's plain that the vessels unto honor are vessels of mercy. And the vessels unto dishonor are vessels of wrath. Amen. Now notice this, I got this from one of the old commentators. I don't remember now exactly which one I got. I like Brother Ronnie Simpson said 99% of originality is forgetting who your sources are. Amen. But one commentator said this, he said these are vessels, they are not fountains. It's not that they issue forth and springing out of them is wickedness or springing out of them is mercy. No, these are vessels. They contain wrath or they contain mercy. Amen. And the point that he brought out there, boy, I thought it's very good. A bowl can be a bowl of sugar, but it's not made of sugar. It just holds sugar. Or another bowl made the same way, looks exactly like it, can be a bowl full of arsenic, and it'd be a bowl of poison. The bowl's not made of poison, but it contains poison. It is filled with poison. I'm telling you, this world is full of people that are filled with the wrath of God because of their dishonor and their ungodliness. Amen. But there's others, by the grace of God, God emptied us out and then filled us with His mercy. And we're vessels of mercy by His grace. Amen. Amen. We're made vessels of His mercy. Amen. Now, the very fact that we're now called vessels of mercy indicate that we did not deserve it. We were deserving the wrath and the justice. We were deserving the wrath and the justice of Almighty God. Nobody, listen to me, nobody ever goes to the throne of God and says, God, I want justice. We got to plead mercy. Amen. We got to plead mercy. We obtain mercy. Hosea chapter 2 verse 27 said, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." Amen. Brother Steve mentioned this morning, Hosea is a great book and deals with God's love and mercy to the nation of Israel. 1 Peter chapter number 2 verse 10 says this, "Which in time past were not a people." Now he's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Gentiles. 1 Peter 2:10, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I was a vessel of wrath. I was headed for destruction. I was living dishonorably. I was full of dishonor. But I'm glad by the grace of God, God cleansed me out and God filled me with His mercy." Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Paul said, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." 1 Timothy 1:16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Amen. Now the fact that it's called mercy tells me it's not deserved. Amen. I remember hearing a story Brother Fane Jordan told. He said that Napoleon had a man that had been caught as a traitor and a deserter from his army. He said Napoleon had the man before the firing squad and was just about to announce the penalty and to have him put to death, and the execution began, and said the man's wife fell at Napoleon's feet and begged for her husband's life. She begged for Napoleon. Here's what she said. She said, "I beg for mercy." And Napoleon looked down on her with a snarl and he said, "Such a man deserves no mercy." And she answered, "Truth, Lord. But if he deserved it, it could not be called mercy." Amen. I'm telling you, there's a day I was standing before the firing squad just about for the hammer to fall. Amen. Just about for the shot to ring forth. It's almost as if I could hear the judgment in my ears. And yet God granted mercy. Amen. I'm glad I called for mercy and God granted mercy. Amen. Amen. Mays Jackson preaches that message on justice called and mercy answered. Amen. Amen. They wrote a song about that. Amen. Well, these vessels of wrath, these vessels of dishonor correspond to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over there with me. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about something very similar to that. That's corresponding, I believe. Ephesians chapter 2. And to get the understanding of it, I'll read verse 1. I'll start with verse 1. "And you hath he quickened." So he's talking to us that are saved. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now look at verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh," and here's my phrase, "in the children of disobedience." Those are vessels of wrath. Those are vessels of dishonor. All right, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. So he said, we're out of the same lump. That's what he's saying. We're out of the same lump. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So you see that? Dishonor equals disobedience. Wrath and wrath are the same. Children of wrath, vessels of wrath. He's talking about the same thing. So here's my point that I'm making here is, again, there are only two types of people in the world. They're either saved or they're lost. Amen. They're either in or they're out. They're either bought by the blood or they've rejected the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But here we are. The Bible says we're out of the same lump now. We were vessels of wrath. We were children of disobedience. And we're among the children of wrath. But something happened. What was it that happened? The Bible says that the gospel came to us. Something happened that changed our heart and changed our life. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 17, the Bible says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Amen. I'm glad that the gospel crossed my path. Amen. I'm glad I came face to face, headlong into the gospel. I heard it from the time I was a child, but one day I really heard it. Amen. It went past my ears, went past my head, and made it all the way to my heart. Amen. I'm glad the Spirit of God took the sword of God, the sword of the Word, and pierced my heart and showed me I was the sinner that He's talking about. I was the one doomed and headed to hell. And I was the one that Jesus went to Calvary for. Amen. And He was willing to save me if I'd only come to Him. Thank God. Amen. Something happened. What happened? The gospel came to us. Now sinners sin by nature and by choice. Amen. Many times because that is all they've ever known. That's right. There's some people use curse words they don't even know are curse words. That's right. There are some people commit sins, abominable sins, that they don't even know there's anything wrong with it. Yet they're still sins. Amen. But they're sinning by nature and they're sinning by choice, but that's all they've ever known. Amen. And they'll never know anything different until something is introduced into their life. In other words, they'll wander in darkness until something happens that a little light shines through. Amen. I'm glad for the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But God's left us here to let our light shine that somebody might see Jesus in us and somebody might be warned in us. And by the way, they'll never see it unless there's a difference between us and them. Amen. Well, I could preach on separation there till tonight's service. Amen. There's got to be a difference. If you're doing the same things they're doing, if you're listening to the same music, if you're wearing the same clothes, if you're living like they're living, how are they going to see any difference? Amen. They'll never see any difference if there's no difference. Amen. Amen. You say, but God looks on the heart. I understand God looks on the heart. But sinners can't see your heart. And they're the ones that need saving. Amen. 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 We got to shine our light to them. Amen. And I'm glad the gospel came to me. Romans chapter 6, verse number 19. Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Amen. So Paul said there was a time you was a child of wrath. There was a time you was a vessel of wrath. You were filled with it. And you yielded yourself. You allowed it to be poured into your vessel. But he said now you've been changed. Now you've been made a new vessel. And you ought to allow the grace of God to be poured into your life. You ought to allow the holiness of God. You ought to allow the fullness of the Spirit to fill your life. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. We know these verses very well. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How can sinners be saved? I'm talking about men that have drunk all their life. That's all they've known is drunkenness. That's all they've known. They've quit millions of times and they're still drinking. How are they going to get changed? I'll tell you what will change them. The gospel is the only thing that will change them. Amen. I know people say, well, preacher, I'd like to believe that, but I can't change. You cannot change yourself, but the gospel can change you. Amen. If you'll let the gospel get in you, the gospel will work in you. Amen. And it'll be Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ will start working out of you and changing you and molding you and making you into what He wants you to be. I believe that's right. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that the gospel crossed my path. He said there's going to be a difference. You're going to see a difference. All right? The preaching of the gospel somehow crossed the path of the unbeliever. And that unbeliever had to make a choice whether to accept it or reject it, whether to continue in darkness or to walk in the light that God's given them. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul declared how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen. You see, it is not our actions that save us. I'm not talking about our works that save us. But rather, it is our submission to the Holy Spirit as He begins to work grace in our heart and work faith in our life that we might be saved by grace through faith. Amen. Amen. He works on us to cause us to be washed from our sins. Amen. And to be made into new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, we got to submit ourselves to the Spirit. We got to submit ourselves to the potter is what He's saying. Amen. Same lump. But He wants to make something wonderful out of us. Amen. Amen. Now, let me get back to my scripture. Malachi chapter 3. I'm about to close. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 18 again. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now I said, depend on how you translate that scripture or interpret that scripture. Then shall you return could be talking about they're going to get converted. I'm glad God does convert people and one day will convert Israel. But I don't believe that's the primary teaching of the verse. And then I notice that ye shall return, so they're going to see it. They're going to see it. But here's the phrase, and I underline this whole phrase, then shall ye return. God said, you're coming back on that last day. Amen. When you die, your body, that's not it. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses say, when you die, it's all over. Not according to the King James Bible. And not according to Malachi. Amen. Malachi said, you're going to be around to see it. You're going to see the judgment that comes on this earth. And you're going to see the justice that comes to the saint of God. The people that Malachi had preached to are now long gone. But they're somewhere. Amen. And they're coming back. Amen. Malachi foretold of a day when they shall return. Amen. I believe Malachi was preaching the resurrection. Amen. These unbelieving Jews will one day be resurrected from the dead. Amen. And on that day, they're going to see those who are sanctified. Amen. Those Jews that believed, these unbelieving Jews are going to see those Jews that did believe. But they're also going to see from the east to the west, Gentiles sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what the Lord prophesied. Amen. The Lord said, you're going to see it. The children of the kingdom cast out. But the Gentiles sitting down, strangers sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. They're going to be able to see that. They're going to one day recognize that Jesus is Lord. But they're not only going to recognize He's Lord, they're going to recognize that the Bible's right, that Malachi was right, and that we were right. I'm telling you, won't that be a wonderful day when God shows that we're not only going to be rewarded, we're not only going to be remembered, but we're going to be recognized. One day the world's going to have to say, you were right. You were right. They've been calling us fools all along. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day. This is back in the last snowstorm we had. I mentioned this to Brother Steve. I was thinking about a young man in particular, went off to school. And in his education, he had a wonderful religious education. But he got off in that school, and instead of being the hero that he'd been at the church, he got over there and he's a dunce all of a sudden. That school that does not accept any of his religion, that school that denounces his religion, makes him an idiot and tell him that everything he's believed, everything he's based his life on, is faulty science. That it's wrong, that he's been misled, and that the people he thinks are wise are actually fools, and he's been led to believe that. Amen. But the truth is, one of these days, that crowd that's mocking him is going to recognize that their whole life has been a lie. That everything they've believed has been based on faulty science. That everybody they thought was wise are actually fools. Amen. And the crowd they mocked and the crowd they ridiculed and said that we're the only reason we believe the King James Bible is because we're too ignorant to believe anything else. One of these days they're going to recognize we're right. Amen. We're right. That's what he's saying. Amen. They're going to see that those that believed God, those that trusted God, were remembered by Jehovah, were rewarded by Jehovah, and they will recognize their great folly of unbelief. Acts chapter number 24, verse 15, the last phrase of that says, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 2 verse 2, I'm sorry, chapter 12 verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, we don't believe in a general judgment in the fact that there's just going to be one resurrection. That's it. We believe there's the first resurrection. Amen. And then there's another resurrection. Amen. Book of you're with me, ain't you? Book of Revelation talks, blessed are them that have part in the first resurrection. Amen. That's the resurrection of the saved, praise God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But the resurrection of the damned is going to come later, and we recognize that, but there's coming a day, and what he said, on that day there will be a complete separation. There'll be a complete recognition of who was right and who was wrong and who believed and who didn't believe. It'll be very obvious in that day. Now, stay with me just a minute now, and I'm concluding. Imagine the shame and the disgust of those who heard the Word of God. But they rejected it, saying that that's just some pie in the sky dream. That's just some imagination that man has dreamed up. And so they've chosen to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Imagine them 1,000 years, at least 1,000 years after having burned in hell. At least 1,000 years they'll burn in hell. And then they're coming up, and they're standing before the great white throne judgment. And God said, on that day, you'll see, not only you'll see that I was right, you'll see that these people that tried to tell you were right as well. Amen. Can you imagine how they'll feel knowing that after that 1,000 years of millennial reign, then they're brought up from hell to face the awesome judgment of Almighty God at the great white throne judgment? Not only will they have to face God, whom they've rejected, but they'll have to face their family that they rejected. They'll have to face their co-workers that they rejected. They'll have to face those that they mocked. And they know that they're going off into hell while we're going to be comforted in the arms of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Think of their terrible enlightenment to the fact that having lived their life chasing after pleasures, having lived their life indulging in all the sinful pleasures that they could, that they were just filling their vessel with the wrath of God, that they were just filling their vessel with the displeasure and the dishonor of their lifestyle. And now, after having existed in the torments of hell for 1,000 years, they are keenly aware that their neighbors and their family members who warned them were right. Amen. They made a choice to reject it, but we made a choice by the grace of God to accept it, and it makes all the difference in eternity. Amen. Amen. Don't you think that part of the torment of the rich man in hell was to be in hell knowing that he had enjoyed the pleasures of life and had mocked old Lazarus because he didn't have the pleasures of life? And now he sees the tables are turned. Not only is he confined to the regions of the damned, but the Lazarus he has mocked is now comforted in Abraham's bosom. Amen. 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 Well, he sees Abraham or Lazarus enjoying the comforts. I wonder if God will ask them at that last judgment, those that have argued and complained, they're standing at the brink of the lake of fire. I wonder, they're looking back. They're looking back at the difference between them and us. I wonder if God will ask them then, do you still think that it's vain to serve God? Do you still think that God never sends judgment? Do you still think that God never pays for what those do for Him?
I wonder if he'll ask them that question. And here's what they'll notice. There is a difference between the two. There is a vast difference. Matter of fact, the difference will be as vast as the gulf between the lake of fire and the joys of heaven. That's how vast the difference will be in eternity for those that have accepted Christ and those that have rejected Him. Amen. Turn back with me to Isaiah. I'll give you two more verses. Isaiah chapter number 65, right towards the end of Isaiah. Isaiah 65. And then I'm going to read you a verse in Revelation, so you don't have to turn there. We'll just read three verses right here in Isaiah 65, verse 12. Isaiah 65, verse 12. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer, or ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes. And did choose that wherein I delighted not. They chose dishonorable things. The book of Romans talks about dishonoring their own bodies among themselves. By the way, that's not talking about sodomy. That's talking about adultery, fornication. Amen. Dishonoring those. And look at verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. God said, I believe part of the punishments of hell, they'll hear the joys we're having, but they can't share in them. They'll see the drink we're drinking, but they can't have a drop. They'll recognize the fellowship and the comforts that we're seeing, that we're enjoying, not just for a day, not just for a moment, but forever. They'll see all that. And they'll know there's a vast difference between those that serve God and those that serve Him not. Those that believe God and those that believe Him not, there's a vast difference between the two. Amen. The day's coming when the die will be cast. There'll be no changing, no more opportunity for change. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11 says this, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The point of that verse is this, there's coming a day when there'll be no changing. Now today you're sitting there, what kind of vessel? Vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath? A vessel of honor? Or a vessel of dishonor. And the light shines, and you have a choice. Am I going to keep on going the way I'm going? By the way, if you're a vessel of honor, are you going to keep on, or are you going to bring shame to your vessel? Are you going to bring dishonor to the name of the Lord? Will you stay with the stuff, as they say? How about those that are a vessel of dishonor? Are you going to keep on living that dishonorable life? Are you going to keep on going down that road that you know leads nowhere but to destruction? Sure, there's pleasures of sin for a season, but that season soon to pass. And eternity's a long time. Amen. They say that Daniel Webster, the great American statesman, was once dining with friends in New York. And in the course of the evening, a gentleman asked him a question and sat next to him. He said, Mr. Webster, what is the greatest thought that ever occupied your mind? Pausing for a moment, he replied, quote, the most solemn thought that ever occupied my mind is the thought of man's responsibility to God. That was a great mind. It's a great statement. On that great dividing day, where will you stand, dear friend? Where will you stand? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come get us a song. Will you be wicked or will you be righteous? Will you be godly or will you be ungodly? Will you be justified or will you be a sinner still? Heavenly Father, I pray that you take this message, these thoughts, Lord, you drive the Spirit of God, take the sword of the Spirit and drive it hard into the heart of the unbeliever. Let the light of the glorious gospel shine through their darkness. Open their blinded eyes. Cause them, dear God, to see. And allow them, dear Lord, to turn to You. Lord, don't let them shake it off. Don't let them argue it away. Lord, I pray You'd deal with them to the point that they'd be converted and believe as a little child and be saved by the grace of God. Father, I pray You'd help us as saints to keep on living for God. Though we don't see the difference today, there's coming a day we'll see there is a vast difference. Lord, I pray, have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, do you need to come?
161.
While we sing, would you come?